Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Hey, fantasy football owners, the road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster: wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty on a Monday afternoon. Thank you for joining us, whether you're listening on 1080 AM, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate it. We love you. And thanks for hanging out.
Hell
good
yeah.
Good times.
It's a great Monday.
This
has been a Monday show that's just flown right by.
I do love it when we have lots to talk about.
That's right.
We do have something unique to talk about this week, at least, as we bang through all of the all of the best rivalry trophies in college football.
Yeah, we rolled this out on Friday, and we had four matchups, eight teams, and look, I thought most of them were slam dunks. And one thing I love about this is that I'm finding out a lot more about the trophies themselves.
Yeah, we read up on the trophies and the histories and how they come together. And
like the Floyd of Rosedale being a shot at the governor of Iowa
for being a pig, but also and race tensions,
blatant racism by Minnesota towards Iowa fans and players. Yeah, not good, but deep rooted history in the Floyd of Rosedale, which is a pig trophy. Mm-hmm. That's given out. We had the Commonwealth Cup, Virginia Tech, Virginia. We had the Iron Skillet, which apparently it's very offensive to be cooking frogs when you're playing TCU in the parking lot and the tailgaters. And that's
have
how
you
that
had frog
one
legs?
Goes. Yes, I have. They're very good.
Tasty.
Yeah, they are. The golden jeweled shillelagh. That was a runaway.
Yeah, I mean,
that was a runaway.
Hey, look, these are all
they beat the territorial.
It's all random draw.
The
Michigan MAC.
Yeah, the directional schools in Michigan.
Yes,
play
Central,
for
Eastern.
A pretty dumb Central, trophy, Western, if we're being honest.
Central, Eastern, and
Western. Michigan. Yeah. And then the Bones took on the Territorial Cup. Memphis UAB play for literally a brass rack of ribs.
Yes.
It's all fantastic.
And our winners, unsurprisingly, the Bones run away the 72-28 victory of the Territorial Cup. The Jeweled Shillelagh, 72-28 over Michigan MAC. This, to me, is an upset. The oil can squeaks by with a 50.9 to 49.1 over the iron skillet. This we knew was going to be tight. It was unfortunate because this was a random seating.
Yeah, I went oil can. I went oil can, even though the history of the skillet was, it favored TCU and SMU. I went with the oil can. It just looks cooler in the fact that it was found on a beach in San Diego, and they're like, hey, this can's from Fresno. We should give it to the winner of the football game.
Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
Cool.
That's awesome.
I mean, that sounds like surfers and potheads coming together.
That's what I'm talking about.
The Commonwealth Cup and the Floyd of Rosedale also a runaway at 68-32.
Yeah.
Floyd of Rosedale.
Anytime that you can have a trophy that is named after a governor and it's a pig just because he wanted to stick it to his neighbor, I'm on board with. But I will say I'm now Team Iowa moving forward in the Iowa-Minnesota.
There you go.
Matchup.
All right, so your winners, the Bones, the Jeweled Shillelagh, the Oil Can, and the Floyd of Rosedale. Those are your round one winners.
All right.
Round two.
Okay.
Gets a little spicy here. Right out of the gate, UTEP, New Mexico State, they play for the Silver Spade, which is the shiniest shovel you have ever seen.
I am on board with you have the Miners and the Aggies playing for a shovel.
Which they both use.
If you have been to El Paso or Las Cruces, you will know how valuable that silver shovel is.
That shovel is, it just means more.
It just means more. Mm. I think that's a cool trophy to give out, and they engrave on the silver spade the winner and the score of each game on there. Not good football being played in this game.
No.
But a damn fine trophy being handed out.
This is like the rivalry trophy that you get in NCAA 25 when you really want to bring it out the mud.
This is the
school you start with.
Yeah, in their competition here, the Governor's Cup
again,
Georgia Tech
random draw.
They just tried to go, hey, we're gonna put something fancy out here, and I'm not
it's a big old cup with like a knockoff Heisman atop.
It looks like a trophy that you would get for winning a flag football tournament.
Yes.
That's all it looks like. I am 100%. My vote is going for the Silver Spade.
Matchup number two, the Commander's Cup between Army, Navy, and Air Force. This is our second tri-team tournament.
This is a
trophy
tough draw, though.
Versus the Liebuck Trophy between Illinois and Ohio State, which is a giant wooden turtle.
It's a very cool trophy.
And
if we're being honest, it lives in the state of Ohio.
It does. But it is a rad trophy that has what looks like the scores painted on the back and like whiteout.
Yeah. Yeah. Just go old school with it.
So obviously the Commander's Trophy is the Commander-in-Chief's Trophy, the President's Trophy, as it were. The team that wins the matchups between the three.
Okay.
So.
And this is an unfair advantage here.
Look. If you're talking about the way a trophy looks, the Liebuck's winning this in a landslide.
Yeah.
But the history behind the Commander's Cup, a lot cooler.
In the last 24 seasons, the Liebuck Trophy has been in Champaign, Illinois twice.
Yeah, it's tough. It takes a turtle a long time to get there.
It has been there twice, and the last time it was there was 2007.
Oh, God.
Yep. Wait, Illinois, how about this for Big Ten scheduling? This is a rivalry game, and if it tells you anything about how much they believe in this rivalry, they have not played since 2017.
What?
Yeah, Illinois and Ohio State, last matchup, November 18th, 2017. That's not even a rivalry anymore.
Wow.
At least we have the Commander-in-Chief Trophy. It bounces around a lot, and they play each other every damn year.
Yes. There's been a shared award 5 times since its inception in 1972.
They don't play each other this year either.
Who?
Illinois and Ohio State.
How is that possible?
Well, Big Ten East, Big Ten West.
Yeah, I guess the crossover.
You're not going to get it.
Army, Navy, Air Force. shared award five times, 74, 76, 80, 93, and more recently, 2021. The all-time record, Army, 10 times they've won the Commander's in Chief Trophy, Navy, 16 times, and Air Force, 21.
Hey, there we go. There we go.
Haven't been around as long, but we win more.
Easy vote for me. I'm going Commander in Chief's Trophy. Commander's in Chief Trophy.
We know where I'm voting.
No doubt about it. That's one.
Matchup number three, the Stanford Axe. Matchup between Stanford and California, which is a piece of a fire axe, basically, on a trophy.
So this is actually a really cool rivalry trophy. Mm-hmm. The history behind the Stanford Axe is in 1899, Stanford came out during a baseball game, and they hacked away like a scarecrow that was dressed in blue and gold.
Mm-hmm.
And they had some sort of like rally cry, very Texas A&M-y. And
cult-like.
What Cal, a couple of students from Cal said, I'm not taking that anymore.
Mm.
They stole the axe. And they had possession of the axe for 31 years.
Mm.
And there was a getaway story of one of the guys who stole the axe. They had like police patting people down on Cal's campus trying to find it. This dude took a barge from Berkeley to Oakland, outran Johnny Law.
Love it.
And they held the axe hostage for 31 years. Stanford gets the axe back, Stanford steals the axe back 31 years later. Then they go, all right, let's do this as a rivalry. Then it gets stolen again.
I love a good axe stealing.
We have axe stealing. There's been theft. And anytime there's theft involved in a rivalry trophy,
perfect.
I am in.
Yes. And it is now, the handle has been cut off, and it's on a big board, so it's a little bit harder to steal.
Yeah. All right.
It is up against the Palmetto Trophy.
Find a way to do it.
Which is a newer trophy. It replaces the Hardee's Trophy, the battle between Clemson and South Carolina. It's a palmetto tree.
It's a cool-looking trophy.
It is a cool-looking trophy, but it's not a Hardee's Western Bacon Cheeseburger on a stand anymore.
Nor has it been stolen
for
31 years.
No.
Theft, I'm in. And I like, you know, when you used to have a lot of live mascots and you'd have the kidnappings.
Yes. Stealing animals is great.
You know, as long as the animal is safe and is returned.
I just want to see somebody get a little too much liquor at him and try to steal Bevo.
Yeah. That is not going to go well. That's not going to go well. Or Ralphie.
Yeah.
Go and try to get yourself a live bison.
Mm.
That ain't going to work. That's not going to work at all. That's how you die.
Don't trifle with nature. Telling you.
Stanford Axe gets my vote in this one.
Yeah, I'm going to go with you there. Although I can see there being some juice to the Palmetto State just because Clemson, South Carolina, that's a good matchup.
Yeah. Yeah, and they've had some brawls. Remember when Lou Holtz was coach at South Carolina and they had a massive brawl before the game? And Lou Holt was out there spitting and slobbering all over the place.
Yeah, precipitation there doubled when he was in South Carolina.
Yeah, it's humid too.
Yeah.
I mean, it is humid. But he was all spitting and slobbering, yelling at his guys. He was having none of that shenanigans. That's not the cheeky and fun shenanigans that you're talking about in the military.
Cheeky and fun always. Another cheeky and fun military-related one, the Ram Falcon Trophy.
There
Air Force making two appearances.
I wonder who made these trophy decisions.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Oh.
The computer did. For Dusty to see. All of the lists. Randomly generated, plugged in. I have it here for everyone to see if they ever want to see it. I'll flash it to the camera. However, the Air Force CSU Ram Falcon Trophy, which is literally a falcon and a ram fighting.
That's cool.
It's pretty rad.
Ram wins that fight in real life, but I mean,
this trophy
not
lives
on the football field.
This trophy lives in Colorado Springs.
Yeah.
The Victory Bell is what it's up against. North Carolina and Duke, one of three Victory Bells in the country.
Oh.
This one comes on a pretty
lame,
pretty rad surfboard.
No, still lame.
Yeah, still lame.
Still lame. We have a ram fighting a falcon, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
This is over.
Yeah, it's... Yeah.
Last time the Ram Hawk was in Fort Collins, 2015. It's been a long time.
It lives in Colorado Springs.
And they play every year.
Yeah.
COVID year excluded.
No.
But it has been there twice.
I think Air Force has won 31 of the matchups.
Let's see here.
Right.
Since 2000, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 since 2000 have gone to Fort Collins. The rest are going Air Force's way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That dominant football powerhouse that is Air Force.
Damn, it was 30-13 last year.
Mm-hmm.
Tells you how bad Colorado was.
Colorado State.
Colorado. Double overtime.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I thought you were talking about the Air Force CSU game last year.
Not good.
Yeah, no, that's... they do have Fowler... what's his name? Braden Fowler Mosley? No. Morosi?
I don't know.
The quarterback?
Nope.
Anyways.
Got nothing there.
Nothing?
No idea who you're talking about.
All right, those are our four matchups, eight teams, eight trophies, round number two.
Let's go!
That is half...
Well, still round one. Still round one, second batch of round one.
Okay, there you go.
Yeah.
Second batch of round one.
Yeah, second round batch of round one.
That this is halfway through now, round one.
There we go. Tomorrow, we get four more matchups. And I hope we're bringing the thunder. How many more Air Force trophies are in here?
None, I don't think. But we do. We have another massive matchup tomorrow and an unfortunate turn of events for a round one that's going to smoke it. Old Oaken Bucket is taking on the Little Brown Jug.
Ooh, that is an unfortunate draw.
Buddy, Fremont Cannon versus the Golden Egg.
Let's go.
The Beehive Boot versus the Centennial Cup and the Anniversary Award against the Bell. Those are our matchups tomorrow.
That last one does not sound like a great... It does not sound like a great matchup.
The Bell is between Ohio and Marshall.
That sounds like a 14 seed playing a 14 seed in the tournament.
Yeah. But you do, like I said, you do have the absolute banger of Old Oaken Bucket against Little Brown Jug.
Let's go.
That's tough.
That is tough. Somebody's got to lose.
Somebody's got to lose there, and that's poor seeding.
Look, Air Force, I gave you crap. Air Force being in this, they deserve two trophies to be in here. Commanders-in-Chief trophy is incredible. The Ram Falcon is a sweet trophy as well. Go to @DannyandDusty and let's vote. Let's get it.
Those will be up for 24 hours. Get your votes in quick, fast, and in a hurry. All right, come in next. Baseball stuff. Danny Dusty, Danny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners. The road to winning your fantasy football championship starts now. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that's going to make or break your fantasy roster. Wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that matter, giving you the insights you need to draft the best wide receivers. As you prep for your draft, let us give you the coverage you need. Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Cal Raleigh with his second home run of the night, the second of three home runs that the Mariners would hit in a rout of the New York Mets 12-1. Boy, that's a rough night.
Hey, if you're a Mets fan, yeah, but if you're a Mariners fan, all of a sudden you're sitting there going, we have that little glimmer of hope that our bats are going to be alive and well. You think of pitching has never been a problem for the Mariners this year.
No, they're one of the best pitching tests in baseball.
But you go out and you're able to score in your last three game sweep of the Mets. you put up 22 runs on the board. Like, there is that little glimmer of hope, but again, you're playing against the Mets, and you want to go back to the previous series. You finally got on the right track against Detroit in the final game of that series where you didn't get swept, but you were only able to muster 4 runs total in the previous 3 games. You got shut out by the Phillies in the closer of that series. You go and you score 2 apiece in the first 2 runs of the Tiger series, and you're like, oh God, here we go again. The glimmer of hope is back, though, for the Mariners if you can keep bats alive and you can keep the bats hot. And look, Cal Raleigh, he is already a legend just because he's the big dumper, and everybody loves that nickname, and mm-hmm. rightfully so, because it's a phenomenal nickname.
When you've got a great nickname, man, it sticks.
But we have like a, this is like going down the Mike Trout line of statistics here. Mm. I saw this over the weekend with Cal Raleigh. He leads the Mariners in home runs, RBI, runs, walks, and extra base hits. The last catcher to lead a major league team in those 5 categories.
Ooh, Pudge?
Roy Campanella.
Oh, God, it's even longer.
In 1945 for the Baltimore Elite Giants.
Goodness.
That is the last time a catcher has led their team in home runs, RBI, runs, walks, and extra base hits. Yeah, think of that.
I thought this Pudge or Piazza would have been there.
Pudge, Piazza, Johnny Bench, like,
yeah.
No.
I thought one of the modern day ones would have been there. That's crazy.
Roy Campanella in 1945 playing for the Baltimore Elite Giants.
And it's like, that's kind of crazy because look, Cal's having a good year, but he's 11th in home runs, 16th in RBI. Like, yeah. It's not like he's setting the world on fire.
And I mean, think of this though, if you have this past year, Major League Baseball's integrated their statistics, right, mm-hmm. with the Negro Leagues and yes. Major League Baseball. So, you know, that was from OptiStats who found that nugget. It hasn't happened in Major League Baseball, right? That's yeah. That was Roy Campanella
yeah.
in the Negro Leagues too. And think of 1945 is a really, really, really long time ago.
Yeah, it's 80 years ago.
And you're looking at this being the first time since 1945, but the first time in Major League Baseball's history as an organization. And this is why I think it's awesome that Major League Baseball did integrate the Negro League and the Major League Baseball stats, because prior to this year, we would have just been like, wow, it hasn't happened before. Yeah, no, Roy Campanella did it, who is a really damn good catcher in both the Negro Leagues and Major League Baseball. But he did it 80 years ago.
Yeah, no, it's an absolutely crazy line as far as what the expectations are for catchers. Like, you just, again, Raleigh's having a good season, but he's also hitting .214.
Yeah, that's Mariners baseball.
So I think if you're, again, Mariners fan, I think the positive to take from this is you were able to rack up 12 runs. The bats are coming to life. And this is with Julio Rodriguez returning and going 0-for-5 with 5 strikeouts.
Right. You need Julio's bat. You're going to need Julio's bat.
That's a tough day.
But who cares when you have the big dumper? And last night on Sunday Night Baseball, we actually found out why he is
Story
the
time big, with
dumper.
Big dumper.
It's so good.
The big dumper, where to come from? Summer of 2020, there was no minor league baseball, and several of the Mariners' top prospects, they were working out at a team's alternate site in Tacoma. It was the first time that Jared Kelnick has mentioned the term big dumper. And even Raleigh says, if we go back to the beginning, everyone's always joked around that I got a big butt. Not anything that I thought about, he said. They said the same thing in college in the minors. A teammate at Florida State, Eddie, Hank Trulick once said of him, yeah, it's big. And he said he actually loved it when he first heard the big dumper mentioned. He wasn't surprised at all. We joke with him. Like, how do you get the jeans on in the morning? The big dumper's making a statement in a huge way for this 2024 Mariner team. Local commercials with a dump truck that he's been driving around. He's just dumping runs on the Mets tonight.
He got both cheeks into that one.
Yes, he did.
And that's why they call baseball the talking game.
Dumping runs.
Got both cheeks into that one.
Yeah, both cheeks into that one. I love that. Just like, yeah, say I got a big butt. They're like, all right, big dumper.
This isn't even the best audio to come out of the Mariners either.
Oh.
Victor Robles also mic'd up in the outfield during the game and had one hell of a night.
So growing up, I was watching monkeys on TV, and I saw like how fun they doing jumping around, and I described myself. I looked monkey and I saw myself on monkeys, and I just said, "Sorry guys, I have to make the play."
Made the catch and threw a cannon back to the infield.
Hey, you gotta catch it!
Wait, so do you
a little bit too hard, sorry mate.
Do you have monkeys running around the house?
No, they have their own house.
Victor Robles is now a king in my book.
Oh my god, this is Joey Votto good.
I love that. Sorry guys, I have to make a play.
And he did.
Yeah, and he did.
And he made the damn play. And then so they live in that. No, they got their own house. I'm wondering what the square footage of the monkey house is.
Right?
And this is the type of stuff that I would do if I was a millionaire professional baseball player. It's like, hey, when I was a kid, I loved monkeys too. I would love to have a monkey friend running around with me. Like, that would be so great to dress him up in little baby
clothes.
Depends
on the monkey. Because, like
chimpanzees will rip your face off.
Yeah, chimpanzees.
And your genitals.
Also, capuchins are mean. Those are the little ones that everybody thinks is like, they're
yeah, what, like Ross's buddy and friends?
Yeah, the ones that you can make into a pickpocket.
Yeah.
What the movies have taught me.
Yes. Yeah, they're giant a-holes.
Yeah.
Look, man, you're talking about monkeys. The only animal outside of us that has opposable thumbs in the animal kingdom and a brain and the ability to use tools.
Yep.
They have no limitations. They don't have a conscience. So, yeah.
That's why they've got their own house.
Exactly.
But the house is destroyed.
Right.
Like, what if Victor Robles had a neighbor he just didn't like? And it's not like a little, like, man cave she shed in the backyard.
Mm-hmm.
What if he just is like, I hated my neighbor, so I just bought his house from him, and they just, like, throw their feces everywhere?
That's where they
remember, that was the big problem with Dez Bryant and his pet monkey in Dallas, is there was just poop in the carpet, and Dez was renting the house.
Are we sure it wasn't Dez?
Yeah. I'll give Dez a little bit of credit here in just saying he wasn't dropping deuces in the middle of his living room.
He's out here doing butt scoots on the floor. He's like, I caught the ball.
And
then, and then Antonio Bryant.
And then his landlord's like, what is going on? He's like, the monkey. The monkey did it. It definitely wasn't me.
Yeah.
And that gave us the Jerry Jones drop of I am a monkey lover.
He loves whatever's convenient. Tell you that.
God bless him.
All I know is I want more of Victor Robles mic'd up.
Yes, they need it.
100%.
And did you see, speaking of mic'd up, did you see any of that Rams-Cowboys game yesterday?
No.
They had extended portions of the preseason game with Sean McVay mic'd up on the sideline.
Mm.
He's gonna be incredible.
In the booth?
Yes. Yeah. He was doing an interview. He was outstanding. Like, he's going to be really, really good as a broadcaster when he finally just stops wanting to drop incredible offenses and win games.
Mm.
He was, like, even as he's coaching a game and he's watching it in real time, he was just describing what he was seeing, and he did a really good job of, like, dumbing it down, but also giving really good insight into things.
Mm.
McVay's going to be good.
Shocking.
Yeah. Handsome devil.
I know. He gets it all. All right, coming up next week, get it all back. Maybe. But first, it's Big Kahuna, Sports and Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
Jeff Russ doing a wonderful job of bringing us back with the NBA's new music.
Heck yeah.
A little Slipknot. That's what you're going to get every day, every game for the NBC's new basketball package.
I don't think that that's going to happen.
No?
No. Nope. I think they'll have a lot of people turn the TVs off.
Or crank it up because they truly love metal.
Oh, no.
Are we talking about the new Round Ball Rock?
We are.
Hell yeah.
We are talking about the new Round Ball Rock. The new Round Ball Rock, Round Ball Rock 2.0, has been revealed.
John Tesh ramping it up a little bit.
Little shred.
Okay. Now, just for sake of pairing these two up, this is, Tesh is calling it the shredded version of Round Ball Rock. Here is original.
It's horns versus strings.
Yeah. There we go. Yeah. NBC's going leaning into it. I like that.
I'm going to go a little niche here, make a video game reference. That is like the difference between Halo and Halo 2. Because the Halo 2 entrance went full metal electric guitar.
Yeah.
Versus the more operatic song that we all know.
It's like the difference of the various Law and Order themes across the franchise. Because they're all just tweaked a little bit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. But my favorite, though, Round Ball Rock version.
Basketball, give me the ball because I'm gonna
dunk it. SNL, yeah, fantastic.
Is that Horatio Sanz and
it was Jason Sudeikis and what's the guy from I Think You Should Leave? Tim Anderson.
Tim Anderson.
Yeah,
Tim Anderson.
Yeah, putting words to that would be difficult.
Yeah,
it's a difficult tune to put words to. The cadence isn't really.
So we have a shredded version of Round Ball Rock.
And then we have the OG.
In the OG.
Which one do you like better?
It's hard to get away from the classic.
Like the horns. Yeah. I mean, because like basketball and horns, they go together. You have the horn, the buzzer, and then it's always Blazers Broadcasting and the horns for Blazers Broadcasting. Always. Like sticks in my brain, it's ingrained. I think if you go anywhere else, they're gonna be like, "Yeah, this is the better version." But horns, NBA, Blazers, they go together.
For I think the shredded would fit like a foot, like football.
That's not a round ball.
Well, yeah.
That's an oblong.
I'm just oblong ball. Style.
You're talking oblong ball rock instead of round ball rock here.
All right, I like that.
Do you think that's what John Tesh was really going for when he called it to his answering machine and left himself a message?
Was actually the shredded version?
Yeah. That's what he had, and he just didn't put it together yet. Yeah. And he's like, damn, technology's caught up to us now. Yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, no, they played the original during the Olympics. Did you notice that?
No.
The men's basketball coverage, they played it a couple different times coming back. I remember it twice during the fourth quarter against France.
It looks like I've been corrected on the YouTube stream. It's Tim Robinson, not Anderson.
Tim Robinson.
Tim Anderson's the baseball player nobody likes.
Tim Anderson is the baseball player nobody likes. And the White Sox have gotten significantly worse since he threw a punch during a game. I think they've won like 26% of their games since Tim Anderson 2 years ago
threw a punch
at a Cleveland Guardian. Everybody does hate Tim.
It's one of those weird things.
Even his own teammates. Yeah,
it's the Noah Lyles of baseball.
No! There are people that like Noah Lyles.
You are people.
There's people.
No, I'm saying you are the people.
Oh, yeah, I am one of them.
Yeah.
I like Noah Lyles. I think he's great for track because the idiot gets attention. And that's okay. I love people watching track and field every 4 years.
The squeaky wheel gets the oil.
Exactly. And people will forget about Noah Lyles by the end of this sentence.
Probably. As far as the Round Ball Rock stuff goes, the new version's not bad. I just think the original one is the one that rings true. Maybe it's because we're older and
that's
what we grew up with, and it's okay. It's
get
okay
off
to
my
change.
Lawn. Yeah.
It's the nostalgia.
Sure. Yeah. Like, I'm not going to lie. When I heard it fire up during the Olympic game, I was kind of half paying attention. Then it fired off, and I was like,
You know what this tells me?
I know what that is.
That it isn't when, you know, somebody will sample a song and you go down that people are like, they're doing disservice to the original. No, it's not that you don't like the new artist doing it. It's just you don't like anything new to your original version of a song. Because this is still John Tesh putting out the exact same song with just a little more flair to it, and people still don't love it as much as the OG. It's all about the original, man. Just like Vanilla Ice, you know? It's not, I didn't sample. Mine is dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. His is just dun-dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. It's like, Vanilla, I don't know the difference. Because you just added a tss at the end of that? Is that what you're saying is the big difference here?
That's the big diff.
All right. Go ahead. You do you. You do you.
It's the simple things, right? That's what, you know, if it came down to it, we could also add that to our gold medal, too. Our ability to litigate.
Yeah. Yeah, we can do that.
We the U.S., that's well, the one we do.
I mean, I think China can do that as well.
Look, I'm just saying we're pretty good at it. And with that, where there's news as it pertains to an Olympic gold medalist or Olympic medalist, as well as a potentially landslide lawsuit in the WNBA coming up next year on Danny and Dusty, Danny the Fan. As we put a bow on the Olympic coverage, Jordan Chiles, the U.S. gymnast who was awarded the bronze medal, has had it taken away despite incontrovertible evidence that the inquiry was submitted in time to rectify a situation from another country that filed a claim that she made a violation.
Okay, so let's go back to this. We're talking about the floor exercise routine where Brazilian gal won gold, Simone Biles took silver, Jordan Chiles took bronze. But my understanding of this is there was an appeal by Team USA over a scoring error where it was 0.1.
It was over her difficulty score, I believe.
And
yeah.
She went from fifth to third based on that 0.1 in difficulty score and gave her the bronze medal. Now, initially, they awarded her the bronze medal, gave her the medal.
Correctly.
Said goodbye. Then the IOC comes back today.
After a complaint was filed by the nation that finished fourth.
And they say, you only have 1 minute in order to file your grievance with the scoring and the judges, and they weren't able to do it in the 1 minute window that they had to file their grievance.
4 seconds late.
They have now
1 minute and 4 seconds, but they also said, we agree with you. We didn't judge her difficulty score properly.
They also have now sent in video that denies that claim made by the IOC that shows that the protest, the inquiry was submitted ahead of the deadline, not at a minute and 4 seconds, but at 47 seconds. There's incontrovertible proof.
Oh.
And
is that even that they did it twice within the allotted time?
And there's now, and despite that, the IOC is saying, too bad. So now the USA Gymnastics has released a statement.
You can't double stamp a triple stamp. Yes,
it's not the IOC. It's the
triple stamp, a double
court
stamp.
Of athletic sports something. But yeah,
they are now appealing this to basically the highest level of court sports.
All right. Here's my rebuttal to this. What if she doesn't give it back?
I mean, I'm not.
She gonna pull a Charlton Heston?
I'll give him 1776 reasons why they shouldn't.
Like,
pry it from my cold dead hands. Mm-hmm.
Honestly, what if she just goes, no?
Yeah. Come and get it.
Yeah.
What you gonna do now?
They're gonna not let her compete in the next Olympics?
No.
I mean, she probably could make the next Olympic team, but this is her second Olympics, right?
Which is like
not everybody. Simone Biles making the Olympics every year.
In fact, nobody else does that. Just Simone.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, the U.S. was screwed over, rectified said situation, was screwed over again.
All right.
So,
I mean, my kid would be very upset if this was over a gold because that would change the China medal
count. Yeah.
And,
right. Flava Flav has said he'll make her a bronze bronze clock.
Absolutely.
Flava Flav's getting it.
Yeah, boy.
Flava Flav and Snoop, what a come up. The Crazy. Olympics were so great for them.
Yep.
In other women's sports news, D'Erica Hamby, formerly of the Las Vegas Aces, has officially filed a federal lawsuit against the Las Vegas Aces and the WNBA. If you remember, this was last year that it came out that the Aces were indicated in a discrimination campaign against D'Erica Hamby for getting pregnant.
Oh.
And Becky
Hammon,
what
did they do to her?
They bullied her, ostracized her, things that happen to women in business when they get pregnant. Becky Hammon was suspended for two games. I mean, this is a whole big deal about it. Becky's great. Becky's awesome. Becky's wonderful. Turns out Becky, not great.
Becky wants to win.
Yeah. At all costs. Yeah.
That's not a good look for the WNBA.
No, when you're about taking care of women and the number one thing that is a separator between men and women you didn't take care of.
And it's the highest profile female coach in your league.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would cringe to think if it was a male coach, how this would be handled. But this is going to be awful. Because it is Becky Hammon, and truly, she is the highest profile WNBA coach.
Yes, and it's by a substantial margin.
Not even close. Yeah. You know, they floated the rumor that Jody Allen wanted her to be the coach of the Blazers. Mm-hmm. For God's sakes,
this is what the details of the suit are essentially alleges that WNBA, the Aces, and Becky Hammon violated Title VII of the Civil Rights Act, which, among other things, protects employees from discrimination based on sex. Additionally, Hamby alleges in the lawsuit the Aces and Hammon retaliated against her for going public with the circumstances surrounding her trade. That's nasty.
Well, this is going to be...
The WNBA already did an investigation and suspended Becky Hammon.
It's going to be very hard to look for the WNBA.
They're going to lose.
And I don't think you want the lawyers to come out, and
you don't want discovery.
Discovery is going to be terrible for the WNBA.
You don't want the emails going out.
No.
You don't want that. But the emails and text messages on this are going to be bad. So the WNBA is going to take it on the chin.
That's a brutal, brutal look for the W.
Weirdly enough, this article is not appearing anywhere on ESPN right now.
I'm sure something will come out soon.
Yeah, on the news service probably later on tonight when it's not there.
Yeah. All right. Dang. Mm. Well, that is going to escalate very quickly.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, basketball coverage on the Fan is brought to you by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use your savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Basketball in August. Basketball coverage on the Fan.
Truly.
It's right there.
Basketball coverage.
That's right there. Well, it's WNBA. It's basketball.
It was. You're not wrong.
All right. We'll be back tomorrow. It's a Tuesday show.
It is.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. A lot more NFL college football news and notes as you have a lot of scrimmages going on around the college football landscape. A lot of NFL battles duking it out. We'll be back tomorrow from noon to 3. Hey, we got a new podcast coming up from Odyssey Sports and Cadence 13. The program is launching first episode today. Dan Lanning, Kobe Savage joining myself and Cole Linehan as we got a Ducks pod coming out. So be on the lookout for that. Up next, though, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. It's prime time with Isaac and Suk. Have a great Monday, everybody.
Bye.
You big red dog, American pickup.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon.
And what's cracking up, James Coe? Join us on Reception Perception as we dive deep into wide receivers, the position that will make or break your fantasy team.
Follow and listen to Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.